Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to take a little moment and just pause and reflect upon the way God justifies us, because I think this is really necessary for us to really get into an understanding of repentance a little bit. And the scripture that I'm kind of going to focus on is the scripture found in Romans 4, verse 5. It basically reads like this: "To him that does not work, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." Now I want to call your attention specifically to the words here, "to him that justifies the ungodly," because they seem to be very high, heavy words for a lot of people, and it's something that surprises many people who are not Christian. Many get surprised by it because they see, hey, he justifies the ungodly. Because many people who hate Christianity and hate what the cross of Christ represents and the religion of our faith is all about, basically lay the charge that God saves wicked people and only keeps hypocrites within his church. Which this is something that the scripture itself accepts and plainly makes clear, that it's God that justifies the ungodly. What makes this so unique is that God makes this claim that he makes those just who are unjust. He forgives those who really deserve no favor. And it really points out that if God didn't want to, he does not have to save anybody. And this is something I tried to touch upon on Saturday when I was talking about how we are responsible to repent. And I really need to get this part across to you, that God himself is the one that justifies. He's the one that makes our acts of penance meritorious at all. In fact, if God did not accept us on the basis of his son's death, burial, and resurrection, no repentance whatsoever would be sufficient to gain us eternal life. That's got to be the first thing that we have in our minds when we start approaching this idea of Lent and really getting an understanding of where we are as believers. In fact, this is why people misunderstand the sacramental system of the Catholic faith, is because they see it as a work salvation versus a faith trusting, as a Protestant minister once tried to describe it to me. But here's the thing. God's the one that makes just those who are unjust. He's the one who forgives those who don't deserve his favor. In fact, each one of us, if we really understand this, we will understand that our salvation is only as good as God's grace is in freeing us from our sins. Maybe it's been our understanding that we need to clean ourselves up, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of that ideology is a matter of self-righteousness. And it's something that we really need to get an idea that it's God who justifies the ungodly. It's God who shows us his favor. In fact, no one is righteous before God. This is the basic testimony of Scripture. And this may surprise you. It may be something that really gets you kind of confused, because you're like, how can a holy God justify an unholy person? And we hold out in ourselves a natural reliance upon good works for our salvation, because we're always talking about our own goodness, our own worthiness when we talk about how it is we get into heaven. I do enough good things. I weigh out the balances and so forth. But we don't really understand that grace has to work first before any act of repentance has any real merit in anything. And this is where, if we really understood what baptism was all about, what the sacrament reconciliation was all about, and even any of the sacraments, Holy Eucharist, Holy Anointing, and so on and so forth, we'd really understand that it's not about our own goodness or our own worthiness. It's about God and his grace. We hold on in some fashion a stubborn belief that there must be something that we must do in order to win the notice of God, rather than understand that it is God who sees through every deception and knows that there's no goodness whatsoever in us. This is the declaration we need to come to of ourselves, and maybe meditate a little bit more upon Romans 3:10 to really understand that there's none righteous, no, not one. God knows that all of our righteousness are nothing but filthy rags, as Isaiah 64:6 points out to us. And we need to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ did not come into the world expecting to find goodness and righteousness, but rather to bestow a grace upon us as a means of justifying those of us who were ungodly. We need to understand it, because it's not that God comes into the court of eternal justice trying to plead the innocence of each one of us and justifying us in the court from a false accusation. We don't have this when we are going forth into God's court of justice. In fact, if we really think about it, we ourselves voluntarily choose the sins that hold us bound and keep us from eternal happiness. It's the reality of what we're supposed to realize here in Lent. And this is the truth that really needs to be impressed upon us. We're like the guy that's basically loading a gun and putting it to our heads, ready to kill ourselves. And this is how we really need to understand how sin really does affect each one of us. And sometimes we may be completely distressed, distraught, and totally given up on life to where that's the only hope we have. But we're not bound to that. We don't have to choose that. God's pleading with us through grace to have us put that gun down through his tears and love and joy. But this is really where we need to understand. Because we are not right. We don't truly have any justice in ourselves. The only justification we ever get is something that's reserved for us by an infinitely just God who knows that there is not one just person on earth who does good and does not sin. Therefore, in the infinite sovereignty of his divine nature, God, in his love for us, has undertaken a task to justify us in order to bring us into his presence so that we can truly stand justly before him. And in his system that he set up, he treats those of us who are guilty as if we're free from any offense. Because Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. This is the testimony of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. It's a truth that should be very surprising to each one of us, and a thing to truly be marveled at, especially by those of us who enjoy it truthfully. I need to really understand how God would really justify me by really understanding the real root cause of my sins. God calls us in Revelation 22, verse 17, to drink the waters of life freely and really get this so that we can get on the road to heaven and really get this whole idea that we truly are meant to find our place with Christ and live in heaven and not end up in hell. It's something that we're supposed to be responding to in our own lives, because God justifies the ungodly. I need to understand my unworthiness, my own corruption, and the true disgusting heap that my sins are before I can really perceive the almighty love of God that was made manifest on Calvary on my behalf. And I need to do this in order to really have faith in Jesus Christ, to truly understand how God makes me an heir with Christ of eternity. How even though I am undeserving, I am treated as if I am deserving, and I am loved as much as if I had been the most godly person, even though I know I've rebelled against him and rejected his truth by my own choice, my own volition, my own willful sin. I've committed in my life real mortal sins that should bar me from heaven. But because of his grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all of our sins, as the song goes, to pardon and cleanse us, that grace that God uses to justify the ungodly is the same grace at which he tries to justify each one of us. We need to understand that we've lived without God at some point in our life, and we've been the very reverse of what it is to be a true saint of God. We have been truly ungodly. Perhaps we don't understand it because we've not left the Church of God. We've gone every Sunday to Mass. We've basically done everything that we need to. But at some point, each one of us have doubted God's existence and even gone to the point of not recognizing his true benefit in our lives. We've lived in many ways, a lot of years, a lot of days, a lot of months, in a way that really gets us settled into our ways to where we truly reject the true plan of Christianity and God's plan for our life. And we live as if God is not in anything that we have to do. And in doing so, we've worn the label ungodly, as if we were truly wearing it like a red badge of courage. Many people go through the outward forms of religion and have no heart in them. And in those ways, they're too are very ungodly. Because though they are meeting with the people of God, they've never met with the Lord God themselves. They can sing in the choir, yet never know what it is to truly praise the Lord from their heart. They've lived without any love for God in their heart and regard for his commands on their life, even though they've attended church faithfully for many years. But this gospel is one where God justifies even those kind of ungodly. If you are a sensible person, you will see the remarkable grace of God in providing for someone as you grace for the ungodly. But we need to understand that self-righteousness is a delusion. We're not called to acts of repentance as a means of becoming righteous. The scripture is very clear on this. We are saved through faith, or through grace by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is the clear statement of scripture. But it's only after we truly become saved that we can truly do the works of repentance and live the way we're supposed to. The salvation of God is not for those who deserve it or who have prepared for it. No one is in need of justifying who have no justification, who have found a way to justify themselves. So why would somebody who can make themselves clean truly need a savior or mercy from God? We need to really get to this point of really understanding that pardon is only for the guilty. We need to really see ourselves in our pride and realize that we are lost, no matter how righteous we try to be, because our righteousness is not real righteousness, it's only deception. Because the scripture is very plain and doesn't lie, that there's none of us who are righteous. It is not a gospel to the self-righteous that we have. Jesus Christ himself did not come to call the righteous, as Matthew 9:13 points out. He came to call sinners into repentance. So we need to look at the righteousness that we're trying to create and realize what kind of delusion it is. It is not even half the value that we want it to be. It's just a filthy rag. We need to understand that only people who need justification are those who are not just in themselves, and we can only depend upon this, that the Lord does not do anything except that which is necessary. And one thing that he undertakes is to make just those who are not just of themselves, but are only just of God alone.
Think about in the medical field how physicians, if they discover a remedy for a cure, why they would prescribe anything but that remedy. Mark 2, verse 17 says it this way. They who are whole have no need of a physician, but they who are sick. So I have to ask, are you sick in your sins? Do you need to understand what this season of repentance is all about? Because we need to understand that grace and redemption are something that are available to you if you truly come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not for people who are perfect, but they are for the hypocrites, those who are spiritually sick, because it's those who come to the church as a hospital, a place of grace. Too many people fail to come to the physician because they hear a knocking at the door and they think it's a bill collector. They hear the words of Revelation 3, verse 20, where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him." And it's a reminder of a man who once came to check on a poor widow woman and to see if she had any needs. And with his money in his hand, he knocked on this woman's door, but she didn't answer. After a couple minutes, he concluded that she was not home and went away. A little later, he met her in the streets of the place and told her that he had remembered that she had need and mentioned that he went to her house and knocked on the door to try to see. And when he came, he knocked several times, but there was no answer and assumed she wasn't home. The woman asked, "When did he come?" And he mentioned the time. And she basically said, "Oh, I was there, but I did not answer because I thought it was somebody coming to collect a debt, a bill collector." And there are many people like this that are in the church who think we're coming to call for the rent due to God. But in reality, the only demand that we come to you is that you open the door and accept the true grace of God. Open the door and let the pleadings of God enter into your heart. Because by opening the door, you do cooperate with the grace of God. You do the one thing that God asks to initiate the relationship. This is what repentance is. This is what this season of Lent is all about, is getting into this realization of how we become what God asked us to be. Suppose a generous person came by and was wanting to forgive every debt of those who were indebted to them. The problem with many people is if they don't realize that they're in debt, this won't really sound like a good news story. If they're truly trying to clean up their lives and don't see the need for forgiveness, they'll never come to Christianity the way they need to. So the first thing you have to understand is realize that you are a sinner in order to believe that grace is something that you yourself need. Jesus seeks to save those who are truly lost. Are you lost? Are you the lost that he talks about in Luke 19, verse 10? When men are not playing with words and calling themselves miserable sinners in false humility, many of them are glad to talk all night and not really understand that the inn of mercy never closes to them. It is not closed on weekdays and open only on Sundays. For the Lord Jesus did not die for imaginary sins. His heart's blood was spilled out to wash out the crimson stains that nothing else can remove. Do you know that you are a dirty sinner in the eyes of God and that only Jesus Christ can make you clean? It's only then that you can truly understand what Luke 3, verse 9 declares. When Jesus said, "Now the axe is laid at the root of the trees." The law of self-righteousness is nothing but pride. The gospel is only for the lost, to remove from each one of you despair. And you are to come just as you are. Come without one plea. Come only as the Lord can make you available to really see your true situation, that salvation comes only to those who understand that they are just beggars and abominably ungodly before God. I urge you to really understand that you don't have anything good that you can offer to God other than what He gives to you through grace and faith, and that you're not good because you are good in and of yourself. You're good because God alone is good to you. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Forgiveness is for those who realize that they are guilty. And when you go to confession, you have to understand your guilt. You don't go to apologize or to find justification. You need to strip yourself down and come as you are to Him who justifies the ungodly. It is only then that the gospel will receive you into the halls of eternal life, because you come recognizing that you are a sinner. You don't wait to be reformed. You come to be reformed. God justifies the ungodly and takes up with you where you are right now, even in the worst state that you might see yourself in. Because if you will repent and come to Jesus just as you are, leprous, filthy, naked, realizing that you're neither fit to live nor fit to die, but come as you are, as a creation of Christ, and truly seek His mercy, a mercy that is open to you because of His death and resurrection some 2,000 years ago, you will understand that you can come and ask the Lord to justify one more ungodly one. For those who have never been baptized, baptism can wash away the stain of sin. For those of you who have been baptized, you only need to go to confession and confess that God justifies the ungodly. This is the title that the Lord Himself takes upon Himself, a glorious title of Him that justifies the ungodly. He alone makes you just. He alone causes you to be treated as a saint. He is the one who realizes your nature has been ungodly before Him. And He calls you to come as you are and reason with Him. And know that though your sins be as scarlet, they can be washed as white as snow. And if you'll truly come today and truly repent, God will receive you into His arms as a child of His, and bless you for all eternity.